Coming up on today's Compassion Radio. I remember thinking to myself, boy, I sure hope Bram recovers, but when that time comes, I sure hope that they don't, you know, kick me to the door. I was thinking, please, I enjoy this so much. I was just hoping that, it would continue in, that capacity somehow, some way, and I'm very grateful that it did.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
We're so glad you're with us today here at Compassion Radio. This is Cher Nelson, your host today on the broadcast, and I'm turning the tables a little bit today, and you'll understand why in a moment, but this is not a happy program for me to do. We are losing one of our family here, and it's not a popular thing, but the Lord has times and seasons for everything, and we have had a wonderful time and a glorious season with our producer and announcer, Jim Governale. But as happens, the Lord has other things for people to do, and wonderful opportunities have opened up for Jim. When you have talent, the Lord has lots of places to put you, and we're delighted with where he's going and what he's doing, but not very happy about saying goodbye to him today.
Well, it's not entirely goodbye.
Well, that's true. You probably will be on a couple more programs, and people will hear your voice now and then, but for all intents and purposes, this is our pretty much last program with Jim. And I thought you might be interested. You've known Jim since his voice came on the air, but we've known him much longer than that. And I thought, Jimmy, maybe you'd like to tell us when you first met us and what your first memories of Norm were. And long before you thought about being part of the ministry, what did you know and what did you think?
Oh, absolutely. I know we talked about this a little bit, and I know Norm asked me about this in days gone by, but I first met Cher, you and Norm, I can remember the exact year. I believe it was 1995, because back then in the middle 90s, I was working as a radio host, announcer, DJ guy, I guess you could say, at a local station in Southern California as the morning announcer. And
local people will remember you as Jimmy G.
Jimmy G, yeah. And I know that you've talked about that very special envelope that you and Norm received as an invitation from a ministry to go to China.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that very same envelope appeared at the radio station where I was working. And basically, it was a media trip where this ministry was inviting broadcasters from all over, you know, basically North America, some of the big cities, you know, St. Louis, New York, Chicago, Seattle, different broadcasters to go on this trip. It was basically a fact-finding trip to go into China, find out what was going on with, the underground church. And I was just honored beyond belief to be asked by the station manager if I'd be willing to go on this trip. And I think for the most part, the broadcasters who went were those who were actually doing the talk shows, you know, the afternoon drive talk show people, which was not me. But I think, as it turns out, our then afternoon talk show host, for whatever reason, wasn't interested in going. So they ended up asking me, and I was delighted to go. So it was on a trip to China in the fall of 1995 when I met you and Norm.
And one of my favorite memories of that trip was something that you and Norm were called on to do that was a little bit alarming to you, I think. Norm tried to play real cool, but tell us about what happened in that experience.
Well, as I recall, we met in Hong Kong with our contact from the ministry that we were traveling with. And I, along with the other broadcasters in the group, including you, Cher, and Norm, there must have been about 20 of us, 20 some odd. We were all given, in addition to the luggage that we already had, because we were going to fly from Hong Kong onto mainland China. And we were given some additional bags, some pretty heavy bags.
Very heavy bags.
That were filled with Bibles. And it was our job to basically get them through customs, to get them out the door at the airport onto the waiting car outside. which may sound like not a big deal, but it really was a big deal because we were warned gently that there was the distinct possibility that we might be stopped by the customs agents there, kind of wanting to see what was in our bag and to do the best job we could to basically casually try to act like everything was normal, all was good, and we were bringing gifts in, basically. Mm-hmm. I think that was the general idea.
Which was true.
And as I recall, they teamed me up with another young lady who was working for that ministry, and we were supposed to kind of quasi-pose as husband-wife.
Right.
So we could kind of get through. And I followed her lead. I believe her name was Mary. She was precious. And I followed her lead. And I was able to get my bag through with really without any problems. But as I understand, you and Norm did encounter a bit of a problem.
Yes, we did. And it was one of those interesting experiences, Jimmy, because when we were caught, they did not open the bags immediately. They asked us what was in them.
Right.
We had the option of lying about it and going on through, or telling the truth and having them taken away and us being in possible trouble.
Mm.
And it was interesting that we talked about it right as after we got off the plane and got our bags and we're heading for immigration. We talked about it of what were we going to do? Were we going to tell the truth or were we going to lie? And we both felt that if we were caught with them, that to lie about it and then have them open the suitcases and find them was a terrible way to represent the Lord
right.
to anybody.
There you go.
So we decided that if the Lord wanted us caught, fine. He was going to take care of us no matter what. So we told the truth, and the immigration officer just went, oh, you could just, the sigh of, oh, why didn't you keep your mouth shut? We still believe to this day, after our whole encounter with him, that he either was a believer or he had great sympathy
wow.
for that, because he tried two or three times to get us out of it. And each time we had to look at each other and decide to tell the truth.
Wow.
Well, we did get our Bibles confiscated. As did, I think, two other pairs that went through. It took a long time. It took a lot of questions. It took a lot of prayer on our part. And we just left it all with the Lord. But what we learned after our interrogation was that if a Chinese person could come back to the airport with certain papers that we had, they could be picked up and taken out of the airport.
Right. They just kind of parked them there.
Right. Which was odd that they told us that, but they did. So you and Norm were sent on an errand to pick up the Bibles. And believe it or not, when you two went back, trembling, I think, a little bit, you were given permission to take all of the Bibles out. So we were able to get everything into the country. Norm always said that that experience was the first part of changing his life because he had never been through anything like that before. And it gave him the tiniest little taste of what Chinese Christians go through all the time, to have somebody overlooking you all the time, to be caught and be threatened with all kinds of legal issues. But it gave him a new sense of the power of the gospel because he realized how afraid the Chinese government is to have Bibles. They understand that these are dangerous books. They don't want them in the country because they know they change lives. And that was the first part of really changing Norm's whole outlook at being a New Testament Christian, which is what we found the Chinese Christians to be. So Norm's experience with you really warmed his heart toward you because he felt like you'd been through something together that brought you together in solidarity.
It was truly life-changing for me as well. I mean, I can remember thinking on so many different occasions on that trip, why is it that I get to experience this? Why was I sent across the world to go on this trip to be the representative of my radio station and to go back and try to tell the story? I felt a lot of responsibility and also just kind of, you know, in those long, long flights, I had a lot of time to think on those 14-hour plane flights. But I just remember thinking, what an absolutely amazing blessing and honor for me to go through those experiences with you and Norm and with that crew. It was unforgettable. And I was right there with you guys just in regards to that whole thing being life-changing for me some 22, 23 years ago.
Right. What do you remember from some of the people that we met, some of the pastors and some of the Christians there? Anything stand out to you?
I do recall that the main gentleman, and it was with the Ministry of the Bible League, mm-hmm. but the main gentleman who we were working with, and I think he was going by the name Ken Baker, mm-hmm. as I recall.
Still is.
And, oh my goodness, his deep faith, his deep love for the Chinese Christians, the underground believers, was just so moving to me. I can remember on several occasions when we were gathered for meetings, mainly in hotel rooms, trying to kind of guard where we were meeting.
Or in moving buses. Or
right, moving buses. I can just recall a number of conversations where I was just so moved by his deep faith and the sacrifices that he was making with his young family. Because he could have very easily come back to the States. He was an American.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was from Illinois. He could have been back in the States working on behalf of this ministry, doing some great things. But he just felt the tug, the pull. And I believe his wife did as well. And I was very, very moved by that. Yeah, there were several other evangelists who were Chinese nationals who came and spoke with us. You know, I know a couple on the tour buses.
Mm-hmm.
The risks that they ran mm-hmm. to just meet with us. I can remember thinking, and I know Norm said the same thing. I can remember thinking, I was just ashamed at my own faith mm-hmm. walk when I was listening to these people talking about the sacrifices that they were making. So it really was incredible.
Many of our older listeners will remember the programs that we did about George. Do you remember George?
Absolutely. Pastor George Chen. I actually have a picture of Pastor George.
Do you?
And what an honor it was for me to meet Pastor George and get a photo with him. As I recall, a Chinese pastor who spent something like 18 years mm-hmm. in prison. He was working in the cesspool.
Mm-hmm.
That is a program that, as I recall, we have aired a number of times over the years. And what a testimony he had. He was working there in a place where no one else wanted to work in this particular prison yard that he was in. It helped him to pass the time because he would just read aloud and recall the scriptures that he had memorized.
Right. And sing hymns.
Yeah.
And it actually saved his life at one point when some awful disease went through the camp. But because he smelled so bad from shoveling in the cesspools, no one came near him. And so he wasn't close enough to be infected by this. I can't remember which disease it was, but it really saved his life.
Unbelievable.
Do you remember the song that he sang the most? I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses.
Wow.
How can you shovel in a cesspool and sing that with joy, with faith, with belief? These are the kind of Christians that we were meeting.
Hmm.
Christians that had scars from the handcuffs dug into their arms from so many years of them being attached. Just joyful Christians and still preaching, still serving after all they had gone through. Well, then, not too long after that, probably a year or 2 years, we went on another trip with you.
That's right.
And where did we go that time, Jim?
That was Indonesia, wasn't it?
It was.
Yes.
And Thailand.
Yes. I don't remember that one quite as well as the China one because I went on several in a short span of time. But I do recall a touring through a city where so many buildings were burned out.
Mm-hmm. The Chinese Christians were being persecuted there. And because they were mostly Christian, their homes were burned. The buildings that they used for churches were burned. It was a really dreadful time for them. So then we continued our friendship. We see you now and then at various things and, of course, loved you to pieces. And then we had a little problem, which we talked about just, I think, last week.
Yes.
When Bram had his stroke and you came on, we thought, just to fill in the gap. But you got a permanent gap there that you filled and we have loved having you. But you came on board, worked with Norm, became, I don't even know what name to put to it that you were to Norm, but definitely you were Robin to his Batman. He loved you. But I'm wondering, over the years, all of the programs that you have supervised and worked on, is there anything that stands out in your mind or anything about Compassion Radio that kept you here?
Wow, that is such a good question. It was 2009. It was August of 2009. I'll never forget it, when I came on board. It was really kind of a crazy season of my life where I was actually looking for a position very similar to what you guys presented to me, because that was kind of, you know, the major economic downturn at the time that the country was going through, you know, the financial collapse of 2008, 2009. But I can just remember thinking what an amazing privilege it was for me to team up with you and Norm to just kind of help you along with the program, with the broadcast. And I was watching and hearing about Bram from afar and through social media as he was kind of navigating through his physical issue with the stroke. And I remember thinking to myself, boy, I sure hope Bram recovers. But when that time comes, I sure hope that they don't, you know, kick me to the door. I was thinking, please, I enjoy this so much. I enjoy working. All the times that I would drive down and work with Norm in the studio, and we'd convene in there, and I was just hoping that, it would continue in that capacity somehow, some way, and I'm very grateful that it did. Mm-hmm. But, you know, every single time I would come down to the studio in South Orange County, when I would see Norm, it was just a delight to be in his presence because he was so good to me and so kind, and the way he would greet me. I would just always sense that Norm was glad to see me, mm-hmm. and I was glad to see him. It was just kind of like, wow, here I am convening with my good friend, and we get to visit together. We get to kind of minister to each other and talk sports and, oh, yeah, record interviews. Mm-hmm. And I would sit there, and I would pull up a different folks on the Skype line that Norm would speak to. And frequently we would have guests come in, and just the countless times that Norm would have his headset on and he would have his eyes closed and looking down at the table, and he would sometimes pound his fist on the broadcast board when he was making a point. I knew that the fist pounding maybe wouldn't go over so well on the microphone, but at the same time, I thought, this is a man who's showing what he's passionate about right now, and he's making his point, and I am not going to step in and say, Norm, please don't pound the table.
We did, however, make him take his watch off.
Right. Right. Occasionally he would have to take off some of the jewelry, making some excess noise there. But being in Norm's presence, when I would just sense the passion that he had for refugees, for those who just had been so terribly persecuted, it impacted my life in a dramatic way. There are many, many times where I just thought to myself, I am just so fortunate to be in this man's presence. I will always, always take that with me. And I miss them a great deal. And I know a lot of our listeners do. And I can't even begin to guesstimate how much you miss him. Mm-hmm. But in these last several months, when I've occasionally brought back, you know, kind of a best of program, you know, a classic program, I'll be listening to some of the little asides and catch his sense of humor. And I would just sit there shaking my head thinking, I still can't believe he's gone, mm-hmm. you know, but here's the audio. Like, we can still listen to it.
You yeah, know? It is a really emotional experience getting ready for this anniversary. I've been listening to a lot of tapes of his, and it does make it hard to believe that he's not in the next room. But for a lot of years, you did morning radio, and you were the host that put on all of the morning broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any particular distinctive about Compassion Radio from most of the other broadcasts that you put on, all of which are wonderful teaching programs?
Most definitely. Even before, you know, in that interim time when I first met you and Norm, you know, from the Bible League trip in the middle 90s to 2009, when I actually came on board to work with the ministry, you know, there were several years when the program aired on the radio station mm-hmm. that I worked at.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was driving in the wee early morning hours, I would hear the program. And I can remember back, I think it was right about the time that we met when the show was called Life at Its Best. And I would listen intently to the program because, again, I thought of you and Norm as my friends. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm driving into the studios and it's like, okay, what are Norm and Cher talking about today? And I was able to just kind of listen through the transition of the ministry into, you know, the activist ministry mm-hmm. that it became and has become. And I know I was one of your best cheerleaders because I was just cheering you along, and I would hear the stories, especially the Pastor George stories of the Bible smuggling and all those sorts of things. And I just remember thinking, wow, it's such a unique program. I was thoroughly moved by the subject matter, which was very different from just about anything else that you would hear on Christian radio.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, I guess one of my main thoughts was how wonderful it would be for Compassion Radio to have a better time slot, at mm-hmm. least on the station that I worked at, a time slot where more people could hear instead of 4 o'clock in the morning. But that was just one of the ongoing feelings that I had. And I think in the back of my mind, I thought, yeah, maybe one of these days I can collaborate with them also. And it did come to be, finally.
It did. Well, Jimmy, I know that you're moving on, and you're moving on to good things, but I hope our radio audience will join me, and I'm sure they will, in telling you what a blessing you have been to us. What a joy it has been to work with you. How sad I am that you're going. But I hope that our listening audience will pray for you too, as I will. That God will make you as much of a blessing and as much of a help to other ministries as you have been to ours. We will always consider you part of the family and your family part of our family. And we'll thank you forever for what you did to make our continuation on the air possible, but for what you did to minister to Norm and the blessing that you brought to him, even in the toughest of times. So people, will you join me in just closing out in prayer here for our very, very special friend, Jim Governale. Father, we thank you for all of the blessings that you have showered on us over the years, all of the people that you have brought through this ministry that have served you so well, that have loved you so well. And today we want to thank you particularly for bringing Jimmy to us. Lord, we ask that you cover him with your blessing, with your favor, that you take him on to new and better things, that you give him grace, that you give him strength, that you give him wisdom. And Lord, we ask for his family. Lord, bless each one of them. Give them a vision of what they can be in your world, Lord, how they can serve you. We thank you for the time that we've had. We look forward to following Jimmy and seeing what you take him to. And most of all, Lord, we thank you for loving us, caring for us, and surrounding us with such love. In your precious name, amen.
Thank you so much, Cher. Love you, and I will always be here for y'all whenever you need me. Just holler.
We probably will.
Hallelujah.
Compassion Radio has seen the hand of God at work for over 74 years. With so much to be thankful for, it's sometimes difficult to look ahead for the next blessing God has in store. We at Compassion Radio would like to challenge you to look ahead. As this ministry forges into the future, your call or gift of support is significant to the ongoing outreach of Compassion Radio. Reach out to us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or look us up online at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. And we'll be back with you again tomorrow with more Compassion Radio.